Let's lift our hands and love the Lord together. God, we love you. We come before your presence, God, here today. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. Thank you for this service, God. You're great and greatly to be praised today, mighty King. We love you. We honor you today. We appreciate your mercy and your goodness, God, today. The church say amen.
Amen.
While you're standing, can you please turn in the word of the Lord with me today to the book of 2 Kings. Amen. The book of 2 Kings. Chapter number 4. I hate wearing glasses. I hate it. Anyways. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter number 4, starting at verse, amen, number 8. When you get there, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Everybody say, a great woman.
Great woman.
A great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to say a few things this morning. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the kind words, my brother. And also, great job leading service today. Worship service, the songs, the musicians. God bless all of you. Amen. In Jesus' name. It's so good to be here. Amen. Amongst God's people, God's children. Amen. I do not take this opportunity lightly. It's an honor. I say that. I know to a lot of people it's just words, and it's kind of cliche to say it's an honor to preach to God's people, but I do consider this an honor.
Amen.
And again, I want to, I really, really want to say this, that I do my best to weigh every word that I speak behind this pulpit to God's people. It is never my intentions. It's never my desire to hurt, amen, or to offend God's children. Can you say amen?
Amen. Amen.
I'm here today to help somebody. God has been good to me. God has been good to you. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We serve a great and mighty God. Amen. A God that can make a way where there seemeth to be no way.
Right.
He's still a way maker.
Amen.
He's still a way maker. And he's still a miracle worker.
Amen.
He's still a healer.
Come on.
Amen. Right. He can still help us in our time of trouble.
Yeah.
He can help us in our time of need. We serve a great God.
Right.
Not only is he a great God, he's an all-time God.
Yeah.
I said he's an all-time God.
Right.
It doesn't matter what I'm going through or you're going through. God is always going to be on time. He's never early. He's never late. He's an all-time God. Amen. He's an all-time God. He knows our needs before we ever bring them to him, as the scripture teaches us. We don't have to, you know, sometimes we ask, and the word of God teaches us that we ask amiss. That's why when we come to God, we got to make our request known before the Lord, and we got to lay it out in detail and say, God, this is exactly what I need. This is exactly what I need you to do for me today, God. Because when he answers our prayer, he builds our faith in him. He builds our trust in him. And we know that it's only him who blessed us and made us whole and answered our prayers. And that was not in my notes. I don't have notes. I don't preach from notes. So just ride with me this morning.
All right.
I want to say a few things to the local congregation here in Sparks. I'm not here to take anybody's place. I want you to know that. I'm not here to fill somebody else's position. I'm not here to fill somebody else's shoes. I'm not your pastor. I'm not the assistant. I'm not the youth leader. I'm not the Sunday school director. I'm Brother Hoagland, and I just came to be a blessing to somebody. Get out of the way right now. Praise God. I'm just here to be a blessing. I'm here to do the will and the work of God. Amen. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. And I was invited. I didn't invite myself. I didn't call Pastor Dimon and say, I want to be there. It's the will of God for me to be there. No. I ran from this invitation for 2.5 years. So here, we're here. And we're here because God brought us here for such a time as this.
Amen.
And I want to preach. I just want to preach for a while. And I may go past 30 minutes, and y'all just bear with me. If your attention span is 30 minutes or less, that's okay. If it's past 30 minutes and I lose you, just, amen, just relax. But I want to talk to us as a people. I want to talk to the young men that are here, the young ladies that are here, the moms, the dads. Amen. If you're in leadership here today and you're here, I want to talk to you. Amen. I want to talk to me. This message reminds me of where I'm at and what I still need in my life. Can you say amen?
Amen. Amen.
We all need a pastor.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got to have a pastor in our lives.
Amen.
I've got to have a pastor in my life. I have a pastor in my life that I answer to, that I talk to, that I am accountable to.
Amen.
Praise God.
Right.
And as a visiting guest speaker here today, I want to preach about this thought. Your pastor, is he welcome in your home?
Come on now.
Your pastor, is he welcome in your home?
Oh yeah. Come on.
I want that to sink in. Your pastor, my pastor, and they're two different men. Brother Newman's your pastor, Brother Till's my pastor. But is our pastors, are they welcome in our home?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't usually re-preach a message, but I've only preached this message twice in the past 16 years. Okay? And one of them was in Madera, and another one was in Oceanside. And I touched on it a little bit a couple Sundays ago in Chowchilla, but I just touched on it. But today I want to really, really bring this home, because I really believe that we are living in an hour. We are living in a time where the world, Satan himself, has launched an attack on spiritual leadership. It's an unprecedented attack
right.
on spiritual leadership.
Right.
It's an unprecedented attack on the man of the house.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry if America's if their situation is where we have young people and children that were brought up in a home where there was no dad. I understand that. To an extent. Now, I had a dad, and he was a Vietnam veteran, and he's still alive. And my dad, I'll just say this, my dad, for whatever it's worth, he's almost 75 years old, and he still feels his liberty to get onto me.
Okay.
Right.
That's right.
My dad still feels his liberty to get onto me, and I'm almost 50 years old. Well, in 2 years, I'll be 50 years old. But we're getting real close. But that's my dad. My dad has that right. My dad has that authority.
Right.
And here's the deal. Whether I give my dad that authority or not, that's his role in my life.
Right.
His role in my life is to get on to me and set me straight. Now, my dad's backslid. My dad's been backslid for 30-something years, sister. But I still honor my dad.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why I honor my dad. Because I'm afraid of God.
Yeah.
Right.
I said I'm afraid of God.
Amen.
Yes.
And I want to have long days on this earth.
Yes,
and the Word of God teaches us that if we honor our father and our mother, right. we might or we may have long days in this life.
Right.
But I want to say something. When we start dishonoring our moms and our dads,
right.
whether they live for God or not, our days will be short.
Amen.
I promise you they will.
Hallelujah.
I've seen young people, I've seen people disrespect their dads and their moms, and their lives were cut short. Bam! That fast.
Right.
Why? Because it's the law of God. We reap
right.
what we sow.
Yes, sir.
I said we reap what we sow. Now, I come from a long history and a long line of farmers. Uh-huh. It's real simple for me to understand that I reap what I sowed.
Yeah.
So when I sowed and I planted goat heads, I got goat heads.
Right.
Now, how many of you ever intentionally planted goat heads?
No.
No, we haven't. You know what's crazy is I mentioned goat heads the other day. All week long, I fought my back being out. I got a real bad back from a really horrible car accident when I was 18. Really bad car wreck, and my back has been bad for almost 30 years. And I went to the chiropractor. My wife got out of the car with me, and she stepped onto the curb area where there was no grass. Because my chiropractor doesn't want to water his lawn, because in the valley, water is very, very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. And so all of his grass is dead. Well, instead of grass growing, there's goat heads growing.
Right.
So she stepped out and she had shoes on, or sandals on, and a goat head got in her toe. And she said, babe, hold on. I didn't know what was wrong. Kind of scared me. And she goes, come here, let me lean on you. And she had to bend down to get this goat head out of her toe. Well, you know what? We didn't plant those goat heads. But we sure reap those goat heads.
Right.
Hello? Sometimes we can get around folks and be around people that have been sowing a lot of bad seed.
Amen. Right.
And if we're close enough to them, we may reap what they've been sowing.
Right.
We got to be careful who we fellowship with.
Right.
We got to be careful who we're around.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, we got to be careful whose home we go into.
Amen.
We got to be careful who we sit down to lunch with.
Right.
We got to be careful who we go camping with.
Right.
We got to be careful who we go hunting with.
Right.
Whatever we do in life, we got to be careful who we're with.
Right.
Because we reap what we sow. And sometimes we reap what other people sow. We didn't plant those goat heads.
Right.
I don't know who planted those goat heads. Maybe life, maybe a bird, I don't know. But it sure got my wife in her toe. It didn't feel good.
Right.
Here's the deal. So in life, we need to honor our father and our mothers.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't care if they go to church or not.
Right.
We got to respect our parents.
Right.
We really need to, because
right.
it is the law
right.
of God
yes.
to
yes.
honor our father and our mothers.
Amen.
And my dad doesn't, I'm just going to say it publicly, my dad doesn't deserve honor. But I give it to him anyways.
Right.
Because I'm admonished to. I'm instructed to by the word of God.
Yeah.
So when it comes to living for God, God has given us a pastor according
right.
to his word.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Whether you wanted Pastor Newman to be here or not, he's here.
Right.
Whether I wanted to be where I'm at in church and have Pastor Phil as my pastor, I'm there.
Amen.
And I have determined in my heart, when I was a very young boy, that whoever is in leadership and authority in my life, that is who I'm going to listen to.
Amen.
We don't need a lot of voices. We don't need a lot of stuff. We need one voice in our life, and that is the man of God that's going to give an answer for us on Judgment Day. Our pastor, your pastor, are they welcome in our homes? I want to have a good relationship with my pastor. I really do. And there's a lie I want to share with you folks. I've been living for God a long time, and I just say that to say it so you understand where I'm coming from. I just didn't get into this a couple years ago, okay? Here's the deal. I've had a lot of pastors, and not by choice. The church that I was in most of my life had 5 pastoral changes. 5! Pastor Newman's been here for 18 years. So a lot of you don't know what a pastoral change is. I know what a pastoral change is. And it's even harder when you're an assistant and there's a pastoral change.
Right.
Because then you got to get used to a whole new leadership, a whole new way of doing things. But I determined and made up in my mind years ago, you know what? I'm not in charge.
Right.
God's in charge.
Yeah. Right.
And if God put this man of God here, I'm going to listen to him. And I'm going to trust him.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. And I want to say something to you good folks. This is a good church. This is a good church. God loves his people. And if you're a visitor here today, we welcome you. We love you. Keep coming back. Come back tonight, and it'll be a different kind of service. But today, I feel a burden in my heart to ask us, to remind us, our pastor, is he welcome in our home?
Amen.
Is he welcome to come in and sit down and have dinner with us?
Right.
Amen. Does he feel comfortable coming in and sitting down at our dinner table and communing with us and conversating with us? I want to tell you one of the biggest lies that's in the world today. And, you know, a lot of the denominational world has, they got this old saying, well, the whole church world's been jimmied. Okay, y'all get that. You know, not every pastor is a bad pastor.
Right. Amen.
Not every pastor is a good pastor.
Right.
That's just the way it works out. That's just life.
Amen.
I'm here to tell this church, God has given you a good pastor.
Right.
He really has. And I don't say that because we're friends, but I am going to say this because he has proven himself in the trenches.
Right.
In our friendship. He has proven himself in his loyalty. And I'm going to tell you that loyalty, you cannot put a price tag on loyalty.
Right.
You cannot put a price tag on loyalty.
Right.
When you got a friend that's loyal, I'm telling you, hold on to that friend.
Yes.
And when you got a friend that's a confidant and that never, never, never broke that confidence, hold on to that friend.
Amen.
Now, I don't talk to people that break my confidence.
Right.
If I tell somebody something in confidence and they break that, I don't confide in them ever again.
Right.
Ever again. You know, I'm one of those guys that if it's a rattlesnake, I don't go pick up the rattlesnake.
Right.
Some people like snakes and they like handling snakes, but Brother Hogan does not like rattlesnakes.
Yeah.
I don't like copperheads. I don't like diamondbacks. I don't like timber rattlers. I don't like any kind of snake. I don't like gopher snakes, guard snakes, tree snakes, king snakes. I don't like snakes, period.
Yeah.
Well, glory to God. Don't know why I just said all that, but I said, I don't like snakes.
Right.
And you can't trust a snake.
That's right.
You hear stories all the time, and you read stories all the time about this big old python swallowed so-and-so's daughter.
Right.
This big old python was wrapped itself around this man and lady's six-year-old son, and all of a sudden, they're in the bedroom, and they come out, and their son's dead. Why? Because they called that snake a pet. Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as a pet snake.
Amen.
Snakes, by their own nature, are going to turn on you and bite you.
Right.
That's what's in them.
Right.
Dogs aren't like that. Dogs are a man's best friend.
Yeah.
Right. We make dogs mean.
Right.
We turn dogs into what they're not supposed to
be.
Right. But snakes, they are what they are.
Right.
They're snakes.
From the beginning.
And I don't trust snakes from the beginning. They were cursed from the very... Well, praise the Lord. That's a whole other Bible study. And we're not going to go there today. But is your pastor welcome in your home? I want to continue reading before I really get out of time and off track. In the book of 2 Kings, there's a story of the woman from Shunem. And for those of you who read this story, you've heard this story preached many times, you already know the gist of it. But there's different aspects of this lady's life. There's something different about this precious lady. And then the Bible says it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Now, when you read the Word of God and you understand that the Word of God is using the word great, and the Word of God is telling us that she was a great woman, and you study commentary, and you read about who was this great woman, because there's not a very lengthy story about this great woman. But simply put, the word great wasn't just inserted there just because. Not just because. In the Old Testament, usually when we find somebody of her stature, of her financial wherewithal, that word great meant that she was well off. She had money. She had a nice place. She had a husband. They had things going for themselves. They had it going on, if you will, to break it down in layman's terms. And they had finances and so on and so forth. She was a great woman, not just financially was she well off, but she was a great woman in her character. She was a great woman in her character. And her character and her being a great woman really, really shows. Because it says, and so it was that as oft as Elisha passed by, he turned him thither to eat bread. Isn't that awesome? That the man of God felt his liberty to stop in to this great woman's house anytime he was hungry. And the Bible says in verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold, and I want to talk about this now. Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Amen. You know, when I was growing up as a little boy, there was often times in the mid-70s where the pastor of the church would often ask my mom, Sister Hoagland, we have a visiting speaker, we have a guest speaker, can we come to your home for fellowship? Because they lived in the church parsonage, and the church parsonage was very, very small, and he had three daughters and a wife. But often my mom would make fried chicken. You don't even understand what I'm talking about. If you never had, and none of you did, have my mom's fried chicken, it was the best fried chicken in the world. Yes, baby, it was better than Fastway. My mom made the best fried chicken in the world. And he would ask her, he would say, Sister Margaret, could you make that fried chicken? And oh, could you make that potato salad that you're really popular for making? And, oh, could you make a cake? And I would look up at my mom, I was just a little boy, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, I would, because he did it all the time. So we always had preachers visiting our home when there was a guest speaker. And my mom would sit at our big table, and she would lay it out with food. Why? Because my mom had a revelation, and she had an understanding about this man of God, and this pastor, this visiting preacher coming by. My mom was a great woman. What made her great? I'm going to tell you what made her great. Her spiritual perception. And when our spiritual perception is askew and it's off kilter and it's off balance, we won't see the man of God
right.
and his
Amen.
Wife in their rightful place.
Right.
That's right.
Well, who does he think he is? Well, the last time I checked, he was the pastor.
Yeah.
Right.
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 Okay. The last time y'all checked, he was the pastor. Right?
Yeah.
And we need to remember to always pray for our pastor.
Right.
Amen.
And his family. Now, I'm not getting paid to say any of this today. In fact, he would probably be very embarrassed that I was preaching this.
Right.
Because Pastor Newman doesn't like to be talked about like this. And I do know that you folks love them. I'm just giving you the burden of my heart this morning. Because here we have a great woman. She understood the role of where this man was at in life. And she told her husband, you know what? I perceive that this is a holy man of God. And he's passing by all the time. She says, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. She was making sure that he was well taken care of. There's nothing wrong with taking care of the man of God. There's nothing wrong with that. And we need to do that. In fact, I came across something that I want to read that I thought very profound. The article said, pray for your pastor. And this is a denominational article, an article for churches worldwide or nationwide. But I thought it very interesting and I wanted to share it with us. 97%, the article says, of pastors have been betrayed, falsely accused, or hurt by their trusted friends. It would blow your mind how many times your pastor's friends have turned their backs on him. It would blow your mind. And so he comes in here, and he's wounded, and he's bruised, and he's beaten down, and he's human, and he's thinking, man, I thought I could trust my friends. And he gets up here to preach the good word of God to you, and he's broken. And he's hurt, and he's battered, and he's beaten, and he doesn't even tell you what happened.
Right.
He doesn't want to air his dirty laundry to you. So he just gets up and he preaches the unadulterated word of God.
Amen.
Unbeknownst to us, he's going through a trial.
Right.
We've got to pray for our pastor.
Right.
We've got to pray for the man of God. We've got to pray that God gives him strength. Amen. For the journey, strength for the battle. Amen.
Amen.
The article goes on to say that 97% of pastors have been betrayed by their closest friends. 70% of pastors battle depression. Don't get shocked. Don't get shocked. You see, when we have a couple of friends and those friends tell us their problems, then that's all we ever hear. But when you got a congregation of 120, 130, and people need to come to the man of God, he carries what they tell him on his shoulders. He carries that weight. A good man of God is going to carry that. So we've got to pray that depression doesn't overtake our man of God.
Right, amen.
It hampers him from being able to pastor the church that God has entrusted him with. Can you say amen?
Amen.
7,000 churches close each year. Churches, denominational churches, oneness churches, they start and they close. Why? Because of things like this. 1,500 pastors quit each month. Shame on me if I put pressure on the man of God that causes him to want to resign the church. Shame on me. Shame on me that if I'm a burden to the man of God instead of a help and a strength.
That's right.
And a blessing.
Right.
I told Pastor Newman, you don't have to worry about what I preach because I come with good intentions. And I promise not to hurt anybody. There are folks that would see otherwise and do otherwise, but Brother Hogan is not that kind of man. And I will pat myself on the back.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Hogan. Amen. God bless you. 10% will retire a pastor. How many of you, I want to show hands, how many of you in here today, you have a profession and you've been in your profession 10 years plus? It's a good show of hands. God bless you. Could you imagine starting a church and within a year you close your doors? It takes a special kind of man to pastor. That's why Brother Hoagland's not a pastor. I'm not that special kind of man yet. Maybe one day I might get there. But I'm going to tell you, it takes a special kind of man to pastor. And God has given this church a special kind of man. He really has. I marvel at his energy. I marvel at his spiritual stamina. There has been times where he's confided in me, not about his local church, but about abroad. And I think to myself, wow, I couldn't do that. I couldn't handle that. I couldn't carry that weight. I'm glad I'm not in his shoes.
Right.
I'm just being very honest. Because when it comes to pastoring, it's not an easy job. See, some people think, oh, he drives a nice car, he drives a nice truck, he lives in a real nice house, you know, he's got a pocket full of money, and he's got this nice church. That's not what pastoring is about.
Right.
Pastoring is about serving people and serving God's people and being available to serve God's people at any given time.
Amen.
80% of pastors feel or get discouraged at some point during their ministry. 94% of pastors' families feel the pressure of ministry.
Right.
You see, what I've always been able to enjoy about assisting and being in leadership is that I've got to live my own life. Mm-hmm. Come to church, do my job, lead service, preach if I'm asked to, do what I got to do when I'm here. But when I walk out those doors, nobody calls my phone.
Right.
My phone's not ringing at 2:00 in the morning. If it is, I'm not answering it because I'm not their pastor.
Right.
Praise the Lord. That's his calling. That's his ministry. Amen. That's what God called him and sent him to do, was to answer phone calls at 2, 3, and 4:00 in the morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I want to say something why I'm here. Especially young people, never buy into the lie that your pastor doesn't care.
Amen.
Never buy into the lie that the man of God does not care. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from Satan himself. Oh, the pastor doesn't care. Don't bother him. Don't call him. No, call him.
Yeah, amen.
I hope this is being recorded because I want Brother Newman to know if his phone blows up, it's all my fault. But that's what he was called to do. That's his job. You don't call Brother Josh. You don't call the other men in the church. You don't call Brother Sam. You don't call Brother Derek. You don't call any of these good men of God here. You call the pastor, the man of God, that's in charge of your soul.
Amen.
So I got to leave and just be happy.
Right.
When it was time to leave and go to lunch, Brother Sam, I just left and went to lunch.
Right.
And I looked back. I thought, well, we're supposed to go to lunch together, but there's 15 people in line at his office door.
Right.
But guess what? That's okay.
Right.
Because that's what God called him to do.
Right.
But listen, the weight of the ministry of his calling and what he does isn't just on him. It's on his wife and it's on his children. If that man of God has children.
That's right.
So the preacher's children and wife are going to feel the pressure of the ministry.
Yes, sir.
I want to be like this great woman. I want to be like her. I want my spiritual perception to be on point. I don't want to be a burden to the man of God.
Amen.
I want to say, you know what, pastor? What can I do? What can I do to help? It's not because I'm a man pleaser. It's not because I'm a yes man. It's because I see the weight of souls on him so heavy, and I recognize it. And I see that God's got a plan and a job for him to do. And I want to somehow make it easier along his journey.
Yeah.
I want to set aside a place for him to sleep.
Yeah.
I want to set aside some light for him. I want to put a bed over here for him. I want to put him a table there. This great woman's perception was on point. It was sharp. And she just wasn't anybody. The Bible calls her a great woman. And why was she great? Because she perceived that this man was not only a man, but he was a holy man of God.
Yes.
Right. Now that doesn't make him better than us.
Right.
But he's called to a different place in life.
Right.
In fact, he's called to the greatest position of authority in this world.
That's right.
Above the president. Because the president's not going to give an account for my soul.
Right.
For yes. your soul.
Right.
Your pastor
right.
is.
Amen.
That's why it's incumbent upon us. When life has us confused, and we're beat, and we're torn, and we're depressed, and we're sad. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 8, 9, 10, if you're 25, or if you're 95. You got to just walk up and stand right here. Pastor, I need to talk to you. Pastor, can I have a word with you? And he may have a busy schedule. You may have to schedule an appointment. You know, I like getting coffee. I like sitting down and having coffee and talking to folks. Because I've served, you know what? Here's the deal, brother. I've solved a lot of life's problems over a cup of coffee in Starbucks. Things that I thought were insurmountable. Problems in my life that I thought were never fixable. Trials that I was in that I never thought I would ever make it through. When Brother Miraflor, my pastor in Oceanside, would sit across the table from me at Starbucks, life became so much more easy for me. Mm-hmm. And I began to see life in a different way. Why? Because I understood that he was a holy man of God. Mm-hmm. And I needed to talk to him. So we went to Starbucks. Or we went to IHOP. Or we went to, there's a place in Vista, California called the Original Pancake House. It's not IHOP, but it's called the Original Pancake House. And they serve German pancakes that are this big.
Wow. They're huge.
You got to have two plates to put this pancake on. I ate the whole thing one time. As you can tell, praise the Lord. Praise God. But this great woman perceived that this was a holy man of God. You see, I want to dispel the notion that the pastor's not on your side.
Right.
He's on your side.
Amen. Amen.
He's on your side. He's for you.
Right.
Amen.
But when you're against him, he's not for you.
Right.
You see, there's a fine line in leadership. There's a fine line in life. And you know what? My philosophy is very, very simple. It's not very difficult to understand. Here's the deal. A happy marriage makes a happy home.
Right.
Happy home typically has happy kids.
Right. Right.
Happy marriage, happy kids, happy home breeds happy churches.
Right.
Happy congregations.
Right.
Happy congregations, happy churches makes for happy communities.
Right. Oh.
Because it all starts at home.
Right.
With mom and dad.
Right.
Now here's the spiritual aspect of that. Then we get to church. When our relationship is off kilter with the man of God, everybody's going to feel it. And
right.
everybody's going to know it.
Right.
Your kids are going to know it. Your wife's going to know it. Your relatives are going to know it. The church is going to know it.
Right.
And it never makes for a good mixture. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And things happen in life. I'm telling you, it pays to have a good relationship with the man of God in your life.
Amen.
Right.
It really does. It really does. And I assisted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've assisted 5 different men. Okay? I was asked to be their assistant. I didn't sign up for the job. I didn't submit my resume. That's just how it unfolded. Each pastor could have said, you know what, you may have assisted the other man, but you're not assisting me. And I just had to take that.
Right.
And that would have been difficult, but I just had to take it. But I was blessed and I was honored to be able to assist 5 great men of God. Some of them you know, great men of God. And all I'm here to do today is encourage us and ask us and to remind us, our pastor, is he welcome? Amen. In our home. Have we set a place for him to come and eat? Have we set a place for him to come and talk and to conversate and talk about life? Or is our home closed off to the man of God? Amen. Now this one is very, very, very true. How many of you have ever heard that being a pastor is a very lonely place? 78% of pastors have no close friends. This is very true. I was told many, many times growing up and showing a desire and having the call of God in my life that I was always told that being in the ministry would be a very, very lonely place. A very lonely place. And I thought, no, it's not going to be. I'm happy and I can make friends easy and everybody loves me and I love everybody. Man, was it a rude awakening. I'll never forget. I went to my first camp meeting and I was sexual youth director over 27 churches. And man, I thought I was blowing and going, man, I thought I was somebody. Man, I was 26 years old and man, I was assisting, I was a youth leader, church administrator, and had all kinds of friends. And all of a sudden now I'm the sexual youth director sitting on the Western District Youth Board with all pastors, and I'm the only guy there that's not a pastor. I thought, wow, man, this is awesome. I love this. Man, isn't God good? Isn't life good? And I went to my first camp meeting. And I got to the first camp meeting. And all those men that I knew on the youth board ignored me. Every one of them. You guys are laughing. Every one of them ignored me. I'm like, hey, remember I'm on the youth board. I just seen you guys 2 weeks ago at the big youth conference. Hey, it's me. Hey, Ryan. I'll never forget, babe, there was a cluster of them gathered together, 8 or 9 pastors. And I walked up. I tried to make conversation with them. Hey, it was kind of like that little dog that used to follow that big dog around in the cartoons. Yeah, I used to watch TV. And I forgot what the cartoon was called, but he kept following that big pit bull around that little bee. I felt like that little chihuahua. Hey, guys, we cool. They all walked off. Every one of them walked off. And I was like, well, man, where are they going? They were all going to go get dinner together. I turned around, dejected, rejected, mojected. I was all dejected stuff. And I went back to my hotel room and I sat on the side of the bed and I said, God, is this what being a preacher is all about? Is this what being in charge is all about? God, I thought this was going to be cool. Hang out with all the big name preachers, drive the fancy cars, wear the fancy suits. God was teaching me a lesson very early on in my ministry. No, that's not what it's about. It's about serving my people.
Right.
And nobody likes to serve. Right. Look at Jesus' disciples. They were arguing, who's going to be the greatest? I'm going to be the greatest. I want to sit at the top of the table. I'm going to be in charge. Oh, really? Jesus said, he that is the greatest will be servant among you all. The greatest in the kingdom is always those who serve. It's never those who lead. It's never
right.
The ones. You know, getting up here is nice. It's nice. And you know, I used to buy really nice suits and have expensive this and have expensive that. And I found out really, really fast that those really fancy suits get dirty really fast when you're waiting on tables.
Right. Yeah.
Those jackets get really dirty when you're picking up babies that have snot running down their faces
right. Because
their mom or their dad's praying at an altar. Right. I thought, you know what? I'm not buying these expensive suits anymore. I'm going to go to L.A. and buy these $95 suits.
Man.
I get them dirty, then I can throw them away.
Right.
When they're really dirty, not when they first got dirty. I'm talking about real life here.
Right.
Our pastor, is he welcome in our home?
Right.
And you know, I learned years ago not to give unsolicited advice to the man of God. I learned to listen, and I learned to sit quiet, and I learned to be asked. And when the man of God asked me my opinion, I gave it. But I didn't just walk in the church and start saying, hey, you know what? I think we should do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And you are? You're not the pastor, right? See, we leave that to the pastor.
Right.
Because he's leading. Right. There can't be two pastors.
Right.
Right.
There can't be two voices, two leaders at the same time.
That's right.
Cannot. It causes confusion.
Right.
That's why there's one God, there's one pastor, and if you're married, there's one wife.
Amen.
How would you ladies like if your husband was giving attention, not talking to you, didn't want to be around you, always talking to somebody else, talking to everybody else, didn't have time for you, wouldn't smile at you, wouldn't talk to you? You'd get upset. That's how church folks get. That's how I get. I need my pastor to talk to me. And that's what he does. When he gets behind this sacred desk, is he talks to us. He preaches to us. He ministers to us.
Amen.
He does. He really does. And sometimes we can take it for granted that he has spent time in prayer and God has talked to him. Well, I don't know if that's for me today. Well, maybe it's not. Well, it's just good to chew on it anyways.
Right.
You know, you ever eat when you're not hungry?
Yeah.
I do. Sometimes I eat. In fact, I wasn't very hungry yesterday when we stopped. What was that place called, babe? Red's 395? Yeah. I wasn't real hungry. In fact, I think I didn't eat half my food, but I didn't know they served it.
Platters of food that big.
That was a good place, by the way, if you've never eaten there. That's a plug for that place. It's really good. Good food. Great fellowship yesterday with my wife. And you know what? I learned very fast that being a minister was going to be a very, very, very lonely place. 90% of pastors, now listen to this, 90% of pastors report working a full-time job.
Yes.
Why? Why? When pastoring is a full-time job.
Right.
So when you look at your pastor, if he's working and he's supplementing his income, he's actually working two full-time jobs. Some of us know what it's like to work a full-time job than a part-time job. But very few of us know what it's like to work two full-time jobs.
Right.
That's almost humanly impossible, right? Think about it. Two full-time jobs. That's what a pastor does when a pastor's working a full-time job and he's pastoring a church full-time. He's working two full-time jobs. I want to ask us today, our pastor, is he welcome in our home? This great lady knew he was a man of God. Her perception was on. The word of God continues. So they made him a room. They set up a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. They desired that he would come and talk to them. They desired that he would come and stay in their home. Maybe not even talk. Maybe there was times Elisha just needed a place to rest in his journey. Amen. The Bible says it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Now she's in her own house. This preacher's relaxing. He sends his assistant off to go get her. Hey, go tell the Shunammite woman I want to talk to her. You would think it'd be the other way around. Hey, go tell that preacher I want to talk to him. It didn't work out that way. This lady was a great lady. She knew her place. She knew her role. She knew what God wanted her to do in her life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And it's important to understand our God-given role in this world.
Right.
It really is. We have to understand our God-given role so that we can understand our place and so that we can understand to stay, amen, in our place. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He said, go get her, go fetch her, tell her to come to me. I want to talk to her. Bible says she stood before him and he said unto him, say now unto her, talk to Gehazi, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. She's been caring for him. She's been careful. So she showed perception. She showed a carefulness for the man of God, for the pastor, for the preacher that was walking by, coming out of her house and staying there. Gehazi, go ask her. And you've done all this for us. And he said, what is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? Man, that's pretty powerful. Think about that, folks. This prophet is telling this great woman, because you've done so much for us. You've taken great care of us. You've done things that most people would never do, but it was because she was a great woman.
Right.
I want to be a great man.
Amen. Right.
I want to do something great for God.
Right.
And it starts in the house of God.
Right.
And it starts with my relationship with the man of God.
Right.
It really does. And I've been around a lot of pastors. I've been around a lot of churches. I preach for a lot of men. I've seen a lot of churches, big and small. And I've seen how different congregations treat the man of God. And I've seen how those men of God treat the saints of God. And it's always very refreshing to see a mutual loving relationship between a man of God, that pastor, and the people of God that God has placed under his care. But in this text, we find she is caring for him. She's taking care of him. Whatever he needed, she was there for. He said, he recognized that it was so much. He was, do I recognize you by talking, amen, to the king? Do I make mention of your name to the king or to the captain of the guard? He's recognizing this great woman for who she is. And he's recognizing her efforts. And he's recognizing everything that she's done in her carefulness to the man of God. Can you say amen? I'm almost done.
Amen.
And the word of God says, she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. I'm going to stop right there because that's a whole other message. That's a whole other message. But I want to talk to us in closing. Amen. If our musicians would come this morning. Our pastor, your pastor, is he welcome in our home? We understand that we have to have a preacher to be saved. And we understand that the man of God has to preach without fear or favor, amen, in order to help us get to heaven. I strongly believe that there has been an attack against the ministry for forever. But in my time, the past 20 years, it's been unprecedented. And then in the last few years, I've never seen an attack on ministry like I am seeing now. And your pastor hasn't done it. I have other friends that haven't done it, but I have a few friends that have. And they've called and they have confided. Brother Hoagland, what do you think we should do? Brother Hoagland, what would you do? And I say, well, it's hard for me to say that because I've never been in your shoes. I've never pastored a church. I've only assisted. And I've been the assistant pastor. And being the assistant pastor, not just assisting, but when you're the assistant pastor, you do get phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning. Collect calls from jail. Hey, Brother Pepper, Brother so-and-so is not answering his phone, so we called you. Can you come bail us out of jail? Sorry, not today. Tomorrow. Not today. Tomorrow when I get up, whatever time I get up, I'll come talk to you in jail, and we'll see what we can do. And I'll call the pastor to see if we can work something out for you. Get early phone calls. So-and-so's in the hospital. Can you come to the hospital? Yep, I'll be right there. 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll be right there. And I've done it. I had a friend one time call me. He pastors a really good church. He pastors a really good church. There are great people that go to his church. Great people of God. He calls me and says, Brother Hoagland, I'm 7 hours from his church. Brother Hoagland, I need you. You need me. He said, Brother Hoagland, how soon can you get to my church? I said, well, it's like 12-ish. I have to drive from Oceanside all the way back to the valley. He said, Brother, can you please get in your car and come to my church right now? Wow. And he started weeping. Started crying on the phone. He said, Brother Hoagland, would you just come? Would you just come? I said, yes, sir, I'll be right there. So my son and I got in my car and we left Oceanside and we flew very low. We flew very, very low. Mercedes-Benz can go really fast when they need to. We got to his church. Church had already been going on for a good, I'd say, 45 minutes to an hour. And I remember him saying, "All I need you to do, Brother Hoagland, is get here and just step into the service. Step into the church." I didn't understand why until I got there. And when I got there, let's all stand. And when I got there, I knew exactly why he called me. I knew then why he was weeping. Because the spirit that I felt in his church that night that was coming against him and his family was so powerful, and the presence of the enemy was so powerful you could have cut it with a knife. And I stood in the back of the church and I could feel it. I'm not a hyper-spiritual person. I don't chase devils. I don't hide behind doors looking for devils. That's not Brother Hoagland. Okay, don't get scared. But it was so bad, you can feel the tension. And you can feel the enemy using people in the church to get at each other and to get at the man of God. And I can feel it. And he took the pulpit. He stood behind the pulpit and he looked at me. And he just went like this. I said, and he just started crying. You see, it pays to have some good friends. And it pays to have somebody on your side.
Right.
You can choose to fight alone, or you can choose to fight with somebody else beside you. The Bible says it's not good for man to dwell alone.
Right.
Amen. Sister Hoagland, thank you for marrying me. It's so good to be married. Amen. I love being married to Sister Hoagland. God bless you, Sister Hoagland. You know, Souls Harbor, there's revival in this church. There really is.
Amen.
But we've got to remember our place.
Right.
We've got to remember why we're here. God called us and God put us in this church.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
But we've got to remember where we're at.
Right.
You know, if you're called to fulfill a position, do it to the greatest of your abilities. And don't get into the habit of questioning the man of God. It's a really bad habit. I have a former friend, and I say former because he's no longer my friend. That happens in life. And it happens in the church. That when we would meet with the pastor, he questioned everything. He questioned everything. Everything was a question. He would challenge everything. And I would sit there and I would cringe. That man, unfortunately, is no longer serving God. Because everything was questionable. Finally, his voice became louder than the pastor's voice. Finally, his persona, his will, became more powerful than the pastor's. And everybody felt it. And it bred confusion and it bred discontentment in the local church. And see, the sad thing is it didn't have to be like that. He was a good man. He was a good man. He was my friend. But something got in him. Well, I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't know about that. You know, I think, why did Lucifer get kicked out of heaven? He forgot his rightful place.
Right.
He forgot why God created him. He forgot why God made him to be who he was. And he forgot his place.
Right.
Amen.
Of serving that.
That's right.
And folks, I hope I've been careful enough today and not offended anybody. That's not my intentions. I just want us to remember. I want to ask you, as your pastor, and I took time on purpose, is he welcome in your home?
Yeah.
And he probably is. I'm not saying he's not. My message is not to imply anything other than it's a reminder.
Sure.
That's all it is. You're great people. I'm telling you, I want to say some things to this church right now. I feel a check in the Holy Ghost right now to say these things to this church. Your pastor, when we've talked, all he's ever done is brag about this church. I've never heard him say anything bad about this congregation, about this church. In fact, Brother Holman, you got to come see it. We're having revival. I've got great people. God's given us great people. We got great leadership. We're having revival, man. We're having church. Always positive. Always positive. But you know, your pastor, and I'm just going to take my liberty to say some things. Your pastor and his wife carry a huge load. Like I've never seen another pastor and a wife ever carry in my ministry. I've never seen another pastor carry as much as this man of God and his wife carry. And I know you're good people. You got jobs. You're busy. You got businesses. You've got responsibilities in life. But remember the story that little boy I told you all about? His mom died. The little 9-year-old. He said, Mom. He said, Pastor, whatever you need done, just let me know. You see, that takes the true heart of a servant, because everybody wants to be up here. Everybody wants to play the piano. Everybody wants to sing special. Everybody wants to get in the mic. And I heard years ago, some of you are going to appreciate this, years ago, I heard an elder at PSR say, you know what? He was preaching to young men. He's preaching to me. I was there. I was a young preacher at the time. I'm not young anymore, but I was young then, in my early 20s. He said, you know what's wrong with some of you young preachers? He said, your problem is your hand only wants to fit the microphone, but it can't fit the shovel. Whoa. So I was taught at a very early age that my work from behind the pulpit out there, it needed to equal. I didn't need to just desire to get up here and preach. Oh, I desire, and I still do. I want to be used of God, but it's different. You know, when you get older, everything changes, right? Everything changes. How you look at everything changes. And then, I didn't know it, but when you get older, life really flies by. Really, really, really fast. Right, folks? I was talking to Elder Morton one day. In fact, it was about a year and a half ago. We were sitting in his home, my son and I. He goes, you know what, Brother Pepper? He said, man, I'm 76 years old, fixing to be 77. He goes, man, how old are you? I said, I'm 45. He goes, man, it was just yesterday I was 45. And he said, I'll never forget. He goes, I turned 50. He goes, you know what? I woke up and I'm 77 years old. Hey, I don't have time to hurt anybody. Right. I don't have time to pick fights.
Right.
I don't have time to cause problems. I'm too old for all that.
That's right.
We're in this together.
Amen.
I said, we're in this together.
Yes.
We really are. We're in this battle together.
Amen.
Whether you're a visitor here today and you're coming to God and you see that you want to be a part of God's kingdom, just know when you get in this, we get in this fight together. No, we're not a gang. We're not a gang. But I tell you one thing. There's some gangs out there that have a lot better loyalty than some churches one to another.
Right. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Their codes of honor and their codes of loyalty surpass that of some oneness churches. And it's embarrassing to say that, but they do. You know what? I'm going to say this last thing in closing. We, as a church body, have to be very careful that we don't allow the enemy to come in and use us to hurt each other.
Right.
If there's anything that's detrimental to revival and to church growth and church progress, it's when there's infighting.
Amen.
People not getting along. this person wants to do this better than that person over there, and they chart everything. And when's the last time you sing? Because I haven't got to sing since you sang, and I. Who cares, man? Are you serious?
Amen.
I cared about that stuff when I was young and I was dumb. Yeah, I said it. When you get older, things, everything changes.
Amen.
Everything.
Thank you, elders. Everything changes. And you know what becomes more important than preaching? And you know what becomes more important than singing? And you know what becomes more important than making money? What it was like to call somebody up and say, "Hey, brother, you want to go get something to eat?" They forgot what it was like to go drop off a huge basket full of food on somebody's porch for Thanksgiving and not need any credit for it. Living for God, if it's just about this or that, then you're not really living for God. But when you're living for God and your goals are souls, and you're soul focused and you're soul minded, and I believe this church really is, and we need to have revival tonight. We need to, when we leave here today, we got to call folks, invite people to church tonight, tell them we're having revival. But I just felt like I need to remind us of some things today. We're going to sing a song of invitation. This altar is open for a time of consecration, not of repentance. We did that last Sunday. But I want us to come up here today and make maybe refocus and recommit some things to God. And tell God, you know what, God? If I'm off kilter, if I'm off balance, God, then help me see it. Because, God, I want to do things your way and not my way. It's not a time of repentance. It's a time of consecration. God, use me. God, direct me. God, guide me. God, use me. God, in only ways that you can. Amen. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Let's reach out to the Lord for a moment here today. Let's sing the song unto the Lord today. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you today, Lord. We honor you. Let's consecrate our lives unto him. Let's pray for Pastor Newman and Sister Newman right now. They're a long ways away from home today. They can use our prayers. They can use our prayers of strength and support today. This is a good church. God loves you. God has smiled upon this church. God wants to use this church and bless this church in a mighty, mighty way. God wants to use the leadership of this church in a mighty way. God wants to use the musicians to usher in the presence of God in a mighty way. Let's consecrate some things to God today, saints of God. Hallelujah. Old time Sunday morning of consecration. Just a reminder today in God's word that even though we're great people, a great influence, great stature financially, and so on and so forth, that we can never be too great to honor the man of God and his family, to do the will of God, to do the work of God. This is Bible, this is right, to do these things, to be this kind of a person. Hallelujah. Let's reach out to God in a time of consecration today, saints of God. From the youngest to the eldest today, let's consecrate. Amen. Let's make up our minds today. We're going to do things God's way, not my way.